You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. For the last two decades, there have been three statues honoring Abigail Adams, Phyllis Wheatley, and Lucy Stone on Comm Ave. They're called the Boston Women's Memorial. And starting Saturday, they'll talk to you. It's the Talking Statues Project. Visitors can scan a QR code at each statue and hear words written and inspired by the women. And here's something. Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell reads as First Lady Abigail Adams, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley as poet Phyllis Wheatley, and Boston Mayor Michelle Wu as abolitionist Lucy Stone. Last week, we spoke with Andrea Campbell as part of our deep dive into Boston history and culture, the WBUR Field Guide. And I started by playing sound of her reading a letter written by Abigail Adams.
I think if we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women as well. Fortunately, my mother taught me and my sisters to read, write, and cipher, and our family's library was large. We read with friends in an effort to further our learning and later had a tutor.
You're bringing a statue to life. You are bringing Meredith Bergman's sculpture of Abigail Adams to life with your voice. What did it mean for you to be invited to bring one of the women of both American history and Massachusetts history to life with your voice?
It was an incredible honor and privilege, and at certain points it even got a bit emotional when doing the recording because of the power of her voice, the power of Abigail Adams, the time period in which she is in exerting her power is so amazing. And it's relevant to this day and age currently when women are stepping up to lead the way in so many ways and on so many issues. So it was an honor and a privilege. And to hear my voice, that is interesting, but a delightful.
So there's so much I want to explore there. And I wonder, do you remember, and of course this can be random, right? But do you remember the first moment when you were reading the script that was written for you, that's written in Abigail Adams's voice, and in some cases her words, in some cases an imagination of her words, the first moment it really choked you up?
I think the part when we're talking about human rights, equal rights, particularly the plight of Black folks, and her wanting her husband to stand up for that equality and that equity, and how that's still relevant to so many issues we're tackling today when pushing for justice and accountability and for folks to have equal footing. And that sort of choked me up a bit, not just because of the words, but also the work of the office, the work that I do every single day with my colleagues. So it was an amazing experience.
What did you do to prepare?
Very little. I read the script quite a bit. But when I got into the room, was quickly reminded that I take a step back and to be in it, but not to be her, but to be myself in many ways, making her words relevant to the time period, to how I would feel, how I would speak to what she said. So that was a fun and interesting experience. But I left the session standing stronger in my voice as a leader, as a woman, and that experience I will never forget.
So there are three voices in these living statues. You as Abigail Adams, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley as Phyllis Wheatley, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu as Lucy Stone. I'm going to play a little bit of a mashup of Pressley as Wheatley and Wu as Stone for you.
I believe that in every human breast, God has implanted a principle that is impatient of oppression, a love of freedom that pants for deliverance. Thus, I ask, how is it possible to claim liberty for oneself, liberty for one's countrymen, and yet exercise oppressive power over others?
Other women before me had heard the call and had gone out to speak for the enslaved. An earthquake could hardly have startled the community more than women beginning to speak in public. But if it was not wrong for a man to plead the cause of the suffering, surely the moral character of the act is not changed because it is done by a woman.
And of course, Wheatley began writing poetry at a time when she was enslaved in Boston. Lucy Stone, abolitionist, and argued for women's suffrage. This idea of the three of you, these women who have broken ground in their elected office. And of course, you know, we're on radio, so people can't see the three statues, these three sculptures. But each woman is in an alive position, a powerful position. You talked at the beginning of this, A.G. Campbell, about that sense of power and history coming forward into this moment. You know, it's sort of that post-sports game, what did it mean to you to win the Super Bowl kind of question, but what did it mean to you to join forces with these other women who have broken ground and call back history in this way?
It's incredible, and I'm proud of us. We all served on the city council together and continue to make our mark in many ways in our respective roles and responsibilities. I know each of us takes what we do very serious, and we know that in this time period of so much, not just folks struggling, but of war, of division, that we have a unique opportunity to use our voices, our power, our influence to bring people together. And in this unique time, and we were presented with an opportunity to use words of incredible women leaders from the past, and to bring that to life is amazing. And I actually took a walk at one point and went by the statues to stand there and really take it in, what this will mean when you add voice and braille and other things to allow folks to access and to make these statues so accessible. It really is an amazing opportunity, and an amazing opportunity for visitors from Massachusetts, for the Commonwealth. And I'm really excited to be a part of it.
So just two more questions for you. It is really striking when you note that all three of you, Presley, Wu, you, Andrea Campbell, served on the Boston City Council together. It made me immediately think of a conversation we had when we were remembering the late Mel King, and former Boston City Councilor and interim mayor of the city, Kim Janey, and Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers was with us. Tito Jackson, who ran for mayor, served on the Boston City Council, was with us, Reverend Ray Hammond. And there was an interesting conversation about how both fast and slow Boston is to change when it comes to leadership and leadership of color. And so much has happened in leadership since Ayanna Pressley was elected onto the Boston City Council, and yet so slow from the time of the Abigail Adams you're reading here to when all of you finally served on the Boston City Council. So are we slow still, or are we fast now in change?
We've made some progress, and we should celebrate that. I think there is such hopelessness in some spaces and circles, and particularly not only what's happening in Massachusetts, whether it's violence or people feeling like they don't have everything they need to be able to get ahead. They're worried about their children, what's happening at the international level, what's happening in Israel. There's so much that can drive despair and hopelessness. And I think it's critically important that we pull upon not only these three women and what they contributed to a society at the time that was excluding them and attempting to diminish their voice, we need to remember how far we've come. The fact I could run for office and become the first woman of color to win statewide, I could marry whoever I wanted, live in whatever neighborhood I so choose. These are all privileges and rights that people fought for. And we should pull upon that to inspire us to keep pressing forward, while then, of course, still doing the work to make sure our political landscape, for example, reflects the demographics we serve, to make sure everyone has access to good housing, healthcare, and so much more. So there's still work to do. There's a way to pull that inspiration out of the history that we are learning every single day, while pressing forward to make sure everyone has access to the opportunities that this country and Massachusetts can afford.
And actually, you captured my last question in your answer there, which was, what's the work left to do? So on that, Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So listening there to that conversation, Meg Campbell and Meredith Bergman. Now, Meredith Bergman is the sculptor of the Boston Women's Memorial, the statues that are coming to life through the voices of these three leaders. And Meg Campbell is co-producer of the Talking Statues Project and co-founder of the Boston Women's Heritage Trail. And of course, let's just jump right in. Meredith Bergman, I could see your face. As you were listening to Andrea Campbell, and she was talking about voicing one of your statues, and it seemed like it meant a lot.
Yes, it does. I fell in love with history working on this project beginning in 1998. I didn't know these three women, and I fell in love with their voices through reading what they had written, and it's enormously moving that they now can speak.
So, Meg Campbell, what does it mean to you to be able to add this next layer? So now there's a QR code, right? And somebody can scan that QR code and hear these women tell a little bit about who they are and how they think and what's important to them, these women from history.
Well, I have to say I had the experience myself in January 2020 when I was on my honeymoon and I went on a civil rights study tour with my husband in Charleston. And there are these talking statues about the town. And I went to see Angela and Sarah Grimke's home, which they had been banned from ever returning after they'd come up to Massachusetts. These are the abolitionists. And it was so powerful. That wasn't even a statue. It was just a kiosk in front of the house. And it was actresses telling their story. And I thought, this is just brilliant. And, you know, back in 1989, I and some other remarkable women, Deanna Lamb and Charlotte Harris, started the Boston Women's Heritage Trail as both a curriculum for the schools and for a gift to the city. We are a history town, but women's voices are just not evident. And so I thought, well, that's just brilliant. We should just do that with our trails. We have 20 trails now at this 34 years later. And I thought, of course, to start with the Boston Women's Memorial. Didn't realize how much work it would be, but here we are.
And I'll just flag for our listeners, we actually, sometime within the last year, had a conversation with Professor Carrie Greenidge about her new book about the Grimke sisters. And we'll put a link to that on our website with this conversation at radioboston.org. How did you decide on these women leaders of today, Andrea Campbell, Ayanna Pressley, Michelle Wu, to voice Abigail Adams, the Phyllis Wheatley, the Lucy Stone?
Well, one of our board members, Mary Smoyer, who's actually really kind of the mother of the trail in terms of keeping it going and is a retired elementary school, Boston Public School teacher, I had come back excited about what they were doing in New York City and Central Park. There'd been no women statues, and a group called Monumental Women, who will actually be joining us on our celebration, at our celebration on the 21st, had gotten very well-known actresses, Viola Davis, Meryl Streep, Jane Alexander, and I thought, oh, well, that's kind of cool to have these famous actresses. And Mary Smoyer said, we don't need famous actresses in Massachusetts. We have all these incredible women elected leaders. And so it was actually a little bit of embarrassment of riches because there are so many. But we thought the ones with the ties to strongest ties to Boston made the most sense. And fortunately, they said yes. And I have to really give a shout out to our director, Megan Sandberg-Zakian, who's the artistic director of Boston Playwrights Theater, because, you know, in all due respect, they're not actresses. And we were doing this recording with this beautiful script written by Joanne Parent and Marilyn Richardson. And it's different being in someone else's voice than your own voice. And Megan, I think, really helped them tap into finding their own voice connecting to the person they were enshrining.
So we're here with Meg Campbell of the Boston Women's Heritage Trail and Meredith Bergman, who's the sculptor of the Boston Women's Memorial on October 21st. These statues will talk.
That's right.
And we've just spoken with Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell, who voices Abigail Adams. I'll turn back to you, Meredith Bergman. What is important when we bring a statue to life, right? It's a piece of art. And now you have a living person, and Meg talked about, you know, projecting someone else's voice. And yet we heard Andrea Campbell say, I was very careful actually to be myself, right? Mm-hmm. What is important to have come across in this extra layer, as you talked about, from an artist's perspective?
There has to be a way for a visitor or viewer to identify with the subject of the sculpture, to see it as a work of art, to see that it symbolizes something, but then to see through that to the person she was and to feel a connection, to feel there's a similarity and an inspiration in there. And when I work, I have to allow myself to identify with a subject, even if they're an incredibly accomplished, great, important person.
Did they talk to you when you were sculpting them? Did Abigail Adams talk to you when you were sculpting her?
Yes. And yes, they did.
And what was that like?
Well, I took inspiration from it. I learned to write persuasive letters like Abigail Adams. And from Phyllis, a love of poetry, which I had neglected since high school. And I now am a published poet, and I spend a lot of time thinking in poetry. And it's really because of having to study her work to try to find out more about her.
So back to you, Meg Campbell. There's an accessibility dimension to this that was incredibly important to you and to the team as you developed this Living Statues project, or Talking Statues project. So talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Perkins School for the Blind was in South Boston. And we reached out to Perkins School for the Blind. You know, we were the first women's walking trail in the country, and now we're in Boston the first with this Braille accessibility with the QR code. We hope this is just the beginning, that this will set the new norm, that all of these site places, whether they're statues or buildings or whatever, are open to those with visual impairment.
So I know you're just launching this, but what's next?
Professor Nancy Hall from Wellesley College did a beautiful translation, and we were inspired by the folks, the Monumental Women folks that have it in Spanish. So, of course, we want to do it in Spanish.
That's the one in Central Park.
That's the one in Central Park. We have 20 trails all with the city of Boston, and I keep adding. And there's actually, if you go to our website, there's a way for people to nominate women deceased who should be honored in this way. So I think this widening consciousness 20 years later, it's still needed, and we have much work to do.
Meg Campbell, co-producer of the Talking Statues Project and co-founder of the Boston Women's Heritage Trail, and Meredith Bergman, sculptor of the Boston Women's Memorial, joined us in Studio 2 last week.